say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
Good morning, everyone. How's everybody doing on this beautiful, beautiful day? As we always like to talk about road trips on Sundays, well, a little bit of music there from Joe and Woody and the boys of the Road Crew, roadcrew66.com. You're always assured of some road trip inspiration with those boys. Hey, give a shout out this morning to some good friends on the road there. Start with Cuba, Missouri. Wagon Wheel Motel, Connie Eccles out there in Cuba. You know, that's not only the oldest continuously operated motel on Route 66, it is also it's a time capsule. And Connie manages to, make everybody, even a first-time visitor, feel like your family. And speaking of time capsules, well, we've got the Roadrunner Lodge is another one. The Wagon Wheel Motel is kind of a time capsule, 1930s, 1940s. And out in Tucumcari at the Roadrunner Lodge, David Brenner has created a mid-1960s gym. All the modern amenities that you'd expect at both motels, but both are a very, very unique experience. Also need to give a shout out to our good friends at Uranus, Missouri. And Louis Keene there, I got a message from him yesterday. He is on the road to recovery. And if you're into juvenile humor, that's a place to stop. And if you're offended by juvenile humor, you want to drive right on past that place. Uranus Fudge Company and General Store. Exactly as the name implies, any juvenile humor you can imagine, you're going to find it there. As to the weather, well, let's see. We'll get to that real quick here. We've got a few questions for the folks traveling west here. It's going to be a warm summer day, nothing like we had in July, but it's going to be pushing the 100-degree mark here in Kingman today, and of course, down along the river, it'll be pushing 110 down west of here, down along towards Needles, California. And, you got to expect that come summer. We're going to have Dora Maroney with us this morning and talk a little bit about Amarillo and some of the exciting things that are going on in Texas along the Route 66 corridor. They got a pretty exciting event coming up. Amarillo is always a great place to visit. I'm surprised by how many people like Route 66 enthusiasts. It's great, but they catch two of the major attractions, the Big Texan Steakhouse and the Cadillac Ranch. And oddly enough, neither one of them are on Route 66. But downtown on 6th Street, you'll find some interesting stuff down there. I'll see if we can get Miss Dora with us today. I can see that she's with us. Let's see. Dora, you might try call in or co-host. See if that works for you. And if not, well, we've always got the phone. Texas has got quite a few events coming up. And everything's bigger in Texas except Route 66. Next to Kansas, they get a little bit of short end of the stick there when it comes to Route 66. But that doesn't mean they're short on attractions. lots to see and do. And if you add a little detour or two, you can really, my gosh. I'll tell you a great one. Palo Duro Canyon, just south of Amarillo. Now, if you don't, if you want to be really pleasantly surprised and you're not familiar with this area, here you are rolling along across the panhandle, about as flat as a pancake until you get out to the Caprock country, just west of the Midpoint Cafe in Adrian. And here, so you expect all this flatlands. Well, Palo Duro Canyon, next to the Grand Canyon, is one of the biggest and deepest canyons we got. And really a surprise. Great and beautiful location, and really something to see. Another thing, I want to you know, there's so many things there. Like another one down in Amarillo is the Golden Light Cafe. Been there since about 1946. That's on the original alignment of Route 66 down in the San Jacinto district of Amarillo. And boy, that is, that's a gem of mine. You got to try the chili. I'm not sure. We'll talk to Dora about that in a bit here, but they used to have a good bison chili that I really enjoyed a lot there. Lots of things to see there. And of course, Texas Ivy Antiques. It's more than just an antique story. It's a place you got to stop and see, because Dora and Andy are just such wonderful guests. They've got an infectious smile and always welcoming guests. And down the street is the irrepressible Bob Lyle and his art gallery. There again, that's just all reasons to take some time and visit Amarillo, Texas, when you do your Route 66 trip. Don't get myopic. Be open to new experiences. That's the main thing here. There are so many things to see along the road. Nolan Stoltz says he likes the speakeasy in the basement of the Barfield Hotel. Yeah, you know, I have never had a chance to see that, but I have heard a lot about it. And it really intrigues me. There's so many different things down there, Amarillo. The Santa Fe building. Boy, if that isn't a sight to see. And there's a couple of great old motels downtown. And, well, that's Miss Dora right now. Hey, Dora, how are you?
I'm sorry, I couldn't figure this out.
Oh, there's no apologies necessary. I'm modern Amish. Anything that's not a Model A Ford gives me fits. So how's things in Amarillo?
This morning they're great. We started off with a cool morning. We were like 68 degrees or something. Much cooler than we've been being.
Yeah, July. I don't know about out that way, but here July was an absolute booger.
Yes, we were over, not as much over 100 as y'all were, but we were pretty hot even for us.
Yeah. Well, you guys have got a great big event coming up there in Texas real quick, don't you?
Yeah, our motor tour will be in October, and we're looking forward to that. We have, I think, about 25 people signed up so far, and we hope that there'll be more that sign up shortly. And, you know, we're doing it in connection with Oklahoma this year, so we're starting in Clinton. And
oh, really?
We're coming to Amarillo for the motor tour.
Are you going all the way to the West End out to Glen Rio, or?
No, Amarillo will be our stop this year.
Okay. You know, I did not know you were partnering with Oklahoma. You know, that is crucial to, you know, because Route 66 is a linear community. And so if we can play well with our neighbors, everybody benefits.
Oh, I agree. And yeah, Reese and Gary have been working real close together to, you know, to coordinate the stops in Oklahoma and then continue on to Texas. So it should be a really fun, a fun day in Oklahoma. And then we'll spend the first night in Shamrock, Texas, and then we'll come on to Amarillo and spend the fall night.
Western Motel in Shamrock?
That's one of our host hotels, yes.
Oh, I like those folks there. They are some of the nicest people.
They are. And they're always, you know, real good to work with. And we always enjoy, and, you know, not that they're the only motel, but they're one of the iconic ones.
No, there's a couple great motels there, but they're the only ones that's got a front row seat to watching the lights come on after you drop in.
That's exactly right. And we've heard that Big Burns is back open. I haven't got to go visit with the new owners yet, but we're looking forward to that, too.
Oh, please keep me posted. I was so sad to see Big Vern's closed because we would stay there at the Western Motel. And, of course, Big Vern's is within spitting distance. And go over and get a cold Lone Star beer and a great, great cup of stew.
Yeah. And so, like I say, we haven't got to meet with the new owners, but so far everything I've heard has been good news. So we're happy about that. And of course, you know, the U-Drop has the cafe now, and they will, during the motor tour, we'll have the Under the Neon at the U-Drop on Friday night. And that will be, the cafe will be supplying sandwiches and some of the food and stuff. So we're excited about that.
Oh, good, good, good. Hey, when we were first getting started this morning, I was thinking of the Golden Light Cafe down on 6th Street there. They still do their bison chili by chance, do you know?
As far as I know, they do, yes. I don't think much has changed on their menu in all the years they've been open.
Well, that's good. We'll be coming through, if Lord be willing and the creek don't rise, we'll be coming through probably about mid-October. And, of course, we'll give you a holler, but we'd like to maybe get some more chili down there. It's always a great stop for us.
It is. And you know, the Golden Light, being the oldest one, is a wonderful place. And we do have other restaurants that, you know, are all good, and we don't want to shortchange anybody. But, you know, you can't go wrong with just about any restaurant on Route 66 clear across, I don't think.
No. There's you know, Amarillo gets short shift a lot, and there's nothing wrong with the Big Texan or the Cadillac Ranch. But it's kind of funny that Amarillo's two biggest Route 66 attractions aren't even on Route 66. I find
it really is sort of sad.
How's Brenda doing out at the Midpoint Cafe? Is she doing all right?
Well, she's doing good. She's got one of our newest members, Brady Wilson. He's helping her with some computer, getting a new Facebook page and stuff got started. So that was good. And Stephanie and Gary, Stephanie works out there. Her and Katrina work out there on one day a week, on the weekends usually. They're out of town this weekend, but so they help out. And Gary's been doing, helping her get some stickers made and stuff that she can give away with her passport stamp. And so that things are going good for Brenda, I think, because she is one of the stops in the passport, the Route 66 8-state passport. And that always helps bring people, or at least it has to me. It has helped to get people off of I-40 and down to your location, because it gives an address. So if they happen to not have an app that they're using or Jerry's book, then they have an address that they can put in their GPS and still find us.
You know, Marion Pavel has done such a good job between that and the Route 66 navigation app. And I'm working with him now to update all the points of interest with the new, updated hours. And we're expanding on that a lot. And I talked to him yesterday. Of course, he's got some pretty neat plans for a Route 66 Centennial passport that sounds pretty darned interesting. I know a lot of the states, Oklahoma and Arizona specifically, have got their own passports. But Marion's is unique because it's all 8 states. And And the concept, using that Jerry's Guide and the navigation app, that pretty much ensures a person's not going to get lost, and they're going to have a really memorable adventure on Route 66.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it all works well together, and we get a lot of, you know, we get a lot of people saying how much they enjoy doing the passport, and so that's always good to hear.
Yeah, it's a great customizable souvenir. The person can make their own souvenir, collect signatures and autographs of personalities and celebrities such as yourself there in Texas. And I was glad Andy did. Looks like he's done a great job there in Texas. Ivy's, I know you guys had a bad run for about a year with the fire and all, but boy, it looks like you're back and better than ever.
We are back, and it's wonderful to be back. And yeah, we opened in June, but our year anniversary was August the 23rd when the fire happened. So there was a lot of things, but people are wonderful in the end, and we had so much help, and we're so thankful to everybody that, you know, helped us in all the different ways that they did, and we couldn't have done it without them and the funds that they raised and stuff. But we are so happy and blessed to be back. And Andy did do a great job, and so did my brother-in-law and my sister. Of course, they were here just about every day after the fire too, and getting things, you know, we basically had to take it down to the bones and start over, and we did it. Well, and it still amazes me that we did.
Well, you guys were working so hard when we came back by last year. You guys were digging ditches and everything else. God. That's got to, you know, that's more than just in a store for you, because, of course, you got a family connection with that place. Was that your mom's home?
Well, it wasn't her home, but my dad used to have a car lot that was next door. That's Mo Dog's now, for years and years. And my mom, of course, did all of his bookkeeping and stuff. And she would always look over here at this little house. And there, it was occupied at the time. But when the woman that lived here, she didn't have any family. She had to go to the nursing home. My dad bought the house, and it been in my family since the 80s is all, but when my brother lived here for a while, and then when he moved away, my dad just told my mom, why don't you start that antique store you always dreamed about? And so her and my older sister Linda did, and in 1997, and mine and Andy's oldest daughter Ivy had died in 96, and so my mom was originally from Nebraska, and her two loves, she always said, was Texas and her oldest granddaughter Ivy. So that's how it got its name.
That's what makes this road so special, is things like that, Dora. You know, the connection, the family, sense of community.
It is. People that aren't part of the true roadie family, they just sometimes they don't understand that it is a family all along the road, and that how much we help each other and how much just being there for each other helps.
Yeah, it's really surprising, because I know it's just a road, and I hesitate to use the term magic. But there is something truly infectious and magical about Route 66. And you're right, some people don't get it. It's like, you know, if you are expecting the Marriott and Holiday Inn Express, it doesn't matter how nice the Blue Swallow Motel is in Tucumcari, you're not going to like it. But if you've got an interest in people and you enjoy America and you enjoy the road trip and enjoy the people you meet along the way from all over the world, Route 66 experience is just like nothing I've ever encountered.
Yeah, it's something I don't think you can find even on any of the other iconic historic roads like the Lincoln Highway and stuff. They all have their own charm and their own draw, but Route 66 has something that none of them have. And like you say, it's sort of magical.
Yeah.
It's hard to hard to grasp. You get it or you don't.
You know, there's a lot of small town America on Highway 6, US 50, US 12. You find these great little towns, the mom and pop cafes, the shops. You find all of that, but it's there's just something missing. And Route 66, it's refined and distilled. You know, I had a talk with Joe Sonderman about that a couple weeks ago. And I think that's one reason some of the big cities like Oklahoma City, Tulsa, Los Angeles, you know, St. Louis, they get overlooked a lot, is because people, we've managed to sell Route 66 as small town America personified. And people can't equate that with the big cities. But the Route 66, the essence of Route 66 is alive and well in those places as well.
That's true. And I think even I've on occasion, you know, wanted to avoid like St. Louis or something just because of the traffic. But when you do that, you do miss a lot. I mean, and Amarillo being compared to those is a small town. Yeah. And so, I mean, I know how much you can miss in Amarillo. So I can only imagine how much gets missed in St. Louis and Chicago and L.A., you know, because we're in 2016, when we were all there for in LA for their festival, there was I seen so much thanks to, you know, Scott. No, it wasn't Scott.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Was it? Okay. Whoever led the tour and stuff and all this stuff they did downtown LA that I had never seen.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. I mean, you know, so there is a lot to see in the big towns if you can give yourself the chance to go look.
Yeah, I it's only half joking. I don't feel too comfortable. I feel like a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs if I'm in a town with more than three stoplights. But but I, you know, Scott Piotrowski's helped me a lot to find L.A. showed me a lot of L.A. I've learned how to get through the place and survive. I dust off my four-letter cuss words and we go from there, but it's all good. Hey, Dora, what's the dates of the motor tour this year in Texas?
It's the 6th and 7th, October 6th and 7th. It's the Friday and Saturday. Now, a Thursday night, we're all in, I want to say Elk City, because we couldn't get we didn't have a host hotel in Clinton, so we're pretty sure it's Elk City. Now I'm confused. But if Jim Urban's listening to you, he was the first one that got the motel room, and we all just followed suit with him. And so he can correct me. And then we'll start in Clinton on Friday the 6th. And then Friday night we'll be in Shamrock. And then Saturday we'll come on to Amarillo. And we'll spend the night in Amarillo on Saturday night, the 7th.
If someone's interested in more and wants information or wants to join the tour, is there a website or who should they contact?
Our website is...
If not, it's okay. I'll put it up today. I'll get it up.
Yeah, I can't remember it right off. I want to say Amarillo66.com, but that's the one here for Amarillo, and it won't be on that one. But ours is like, hey.
I'll find it.
Yeah, I'll have to look it up.
I'll tell you. No, don't apologize. I'll pull it up. I'll get it up on the – I'll put it on the podcast today, the link, when I publish this program, and I'll get it up on the website. As well as on social media. I'll get that done today. We'll link them all together. Is Pat Smith still down at the museum in Clinton? Do you know by chance?
I don't know right off.
Yeah, I haven't talked to her in a while, and she was talking about retiring. That museum in Clinton is that is one of the best museums on the road. That is a great museum, the Oklahoma Route 66 Museum.
Yes.
And, of course, the Elk City National Route 66 Museum is rather interesting as well because it's such an interesting complex. Maisel out there at Tumbleweeds in Texola. Is she still hanging in there, you know?
She is still hanging in. The Oklahoma Association has been helping her. You know, she got hard hit with COVID, all that mess and stuff. And so she's had a hard time coming back, but the Oklahoma Association is helping her with some of the problems she encountered with the state of permits and stuff when they, you know, shut everything down in Oklahoma. She's had a hard time coming back from that. And so they're helping her, and she is hoping to be open when we do the motor tour. And we're going to stop by, whether, you know, whether she's officially open or not, but we can't say that.
I got you.
She might get so. But no, she is working hard to get reopened by October.
You know, I tell you what, I give that woman so much credit. When she started that project, I mean, boy, you talk about pushing a wheelbarrow full of rocks up a hill with a flat tire. You know, the building itself was in such bad shape, I probably wouldn't have peed on it if it was on fire. And then, you know, you're starting a business in a ghost town. You know, you're stacking the odds pretty high. But, boy, she's got good pie and coffee. And, well, that's all it takes to get me to stop. But she's just really tenacious. And I always enjoy a stop there.
And she's a good artist too. So if you haven't seen any of her work, she's excellent.
Well, this motor tour sounds like something fantastic. I hope you have a good turnout. And, you know, a motor tour is, for people who aren't familiar with Route 66, they don't understand the, well, I wouldn't call it an obsession, but this addiction to Route 66. A motor tour like this is an ideal way to discover it, because you not only travel with people who know where the special places are, but you get to experience that personal magic of like-minded people coming together as a family and enjoying something. So the motor tour would be a great, great way as an introduction, if you will, to Route 66.
I agree. That's true. And I think we have a lot of first-time Texans from all over the state that are going to be joining us. And we also have a motorhome group that's going to be in Clinton that's going to join us under the neon in Shamrock. So that's going to be fun. I think they have like 25 RVs or something that's going to join our group for that day. So we'll make, if they join in the tour in Clinton, then and follow us, that's going to make a big trail or train of cars and motorhomes. So that'd be pretty cool to videotape. And last year we had a drone, so hopefully we'll have the drone footage again this year. And I think it'll look really pretty cool.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so too. You know, Texas, everything's bigger in Texas, but you guys get next to Kansas. You guys got short shifted on the number of miles, but that doesn't mean there's a shortage of attractions. I was talking before you called, and you know, Route 66, you don't want to become myopic. I know we've all got tight schedules, things of that nature, but if you can afford to include a side trip or two in your Route 66 trip, short ones. And I was talking about Palo Duro Canyon, just south of Amarillo. And boy, I tell you, that is a surprise for people that's never seen it. They expect this, all this flatlands, and that'll catch them by surprise.
Yeah, and like you say, it's not very far off the route. And if you have time to even just spend a couple hours driving down through Palo Duro Canyon, and the fact that you can drive your own vehicle down, you know, really helps the individuals be able to go see that, because they don't have to, you know, make a reservation or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, Dora, this, you know, I'm eager to get on the road again. Like I say, we're going to be heading back for the miles if all goes as planned, but we know how that goes, especially lately. I'd be absolutely shocked if things went as planned, but we are planning on going east. I'm supposed to speak at the Miles of Possibility Conference. And it'd be good to see everybody again. Of course, we'll give you folks there an Amarillo holler.
Yeah, I was so excited to be able to go this year. And then our event that we always have the last Saturday of October, it was taken away from us and the city took it over. And so we had to come up with another event. And so our event will now be the same weekend as the Miles of Possibility, and I won't get to go. So I was disappointed about that.
We'll give you a holler when we come through town. We always do. We tried to catch up with old Bob, Bob Lyle last trip, but we missed him. But maybe we'll catch up with that old codger this time.
He's always around someone. Well, it depends on when in October, because he goes, you know, he's with the Texas Country Reporter. He gets to go to Wachahatchee every year and set up a booth down at their big thing. And, but I think that's usually the last weekend in October. So,
he's always fun to tease, because boy, he's getting, now I got something new to tease him about, because he's had a birthday recently and he's just about as old as rope, I think. And Andy's retired. I'm sure he's going to, well, that isn't going to happen. You folks just had a big project down in McLean. I see working on the old gas station down there, patching that up.
Yeah. Yes, they've done an excellent job. The new roof is on. There's a couple of things we're going to, have to finish off, but on the roof. But it looks really good, and they, redid the pumps and has reset them, and they look fantastic. And we've just got a little bit of, when they power washed it, some of the stucco came out of between the bricks and stuff. So we've got a little bit more maintenance to do to get it all fixed up. And Andy and Gary are going to shore up some of the inside and make sure that it's all well supported. And then, we'll be good to go on that. And we're nearly to the goal that Gary had set, and he's done a really good job getting the funds raised for the project and stuff. And so we're hoping to have it all done by the motor tour, and are real close to it. And so people will be able to see what their money's gone for, and get pictures of it and stuff. And then our next project after that one's going to be the superstation at Allen Reed, which doesn't need near as much. It's a lot of cosmetic stuff and just cutting down trees that have come up and that kind of stuff. And so we're looking forward to that project as soon as we get the Phillips 66 station completed.
Poor old McLean, they've suffered a lot over the years and kind of lost the old theater and whatnot. But with people like Angela Moreland down there at the Cactus Inn Motel and RV Park and the tap room downtown, that old town has still got a pretty, pretty good pulse. And I suspect you're going to see some pretty interesting things happening in McLean over the next few years.
Yeah, I agree with, most museums are doing well that are in McLean. And so I think, they have a lot of interest in their town. I mean, they work hard to try to, keep the infrastructure up and stuff, but their mayor is doing a good job. And I think, everybody's trying, and it shows that they are working hard. And with the Red River Steakhouse there, it all adds a little bit. And I think they've got a good comeback ahead of them.
Yeah, I do. And there's so many things there. The Barbed Wire Museum, the Texas Route 66 Museum and the Barbed Wire Museum. One of the biggest surprises the first time you go to the Barbed Wire Museum, I can only imagine how many people drive past that because they think a Barbed Wire Museum. But one of the most interesting things about your first visit to that museum is to find that you've lost 2 or 3 hours without realizing it, because that museum is fascinating.
It is, you know. People that don't realize how much barbed wire helped, you know, create the West.
Yeah. You know, I don't imagine, well, Delbert True and his wife were so instrumental in things there. I've lost track of Delbert the last few years, but I'm sure he's getting a little tired. Oh, the other big news there in Texas, too, is, of course, the old ghost town of Jericho. Boy, those folks are sure going to town out there.
They are. Blanca and Blair have done a fantastic job, and they're still, I mean, they had their garden. I hadn't heard how well the garden did. We had the good rain in the spring, and then it turned off really hot. So hopefully their garden did well. And they've got so much, you know, potential out there, and they're working so hard to get everything done. And that it's going to be fantastic. I mean, they've got years ahead of them, but they've got plans all, you know, for everything. So that it's a good to see. And, you know, we're so glad that somebody with such a connection found and was able to take on Jericho.
Yeah. You know, they're ambitious, they're hardworking. Most importantly, they're not as old as I am there. I've got all these ideas and lots of big plans, and somehow I've got the ambition, but well, then I get distracted and I get comfortable in my chair, and well, the next thing you know, it just doesn't get done.
Time seems to get away.
Oh God, time goes by so fast. I think I'd be dead a week before I even know it. Nolan Stoltz says, thank you, Dora, for always being so kind and for promoting places along Route 66. He says, I miss my visits.
Well, no, I enjoyed always getting to visit with Nolan. He was, he always has a different view than a lot of people of Route 66 and the things along it, since he was doing it from the music perspective and stuff. So I always enjoyed how he looks at things, and I always enjoy his visits. And yeah, it's too bad when people can't come as much as they used to.
But
it's a good thing.
Yeah, Nolan, you know, has done such a good job with it's really refreshing, because people have a tendency, and I think it's human nature, we become so myopic, so narrow-minded, we can look down a beer bottle with both eyes, and we see the big attractions, the Wagon Wheel Motel and Blue Swallow Motel, which is all good, fine and dandy. But finding these obscure places, these odd places, like Nolan did a great piece there on Brooklyn, Illinois, and the history behind these places and these forgotten places. And we need more people like Nolan out there digging up these stories, especially as we get close to the centennial.
Yeah, and that's true. And Kitty O'Care, who is one of the members of the Texas Association, she did Ben and Nine, and I know Nolan dug up some stuff on Ben and Nine, and Ada Lester was able to help both of them find some stuff out there in Wheeler County. So it is good, you know, that everybody looks at it a little different, and some people look a little deeper.
Yeah, it's important, you know, that enriches. It benefits us all because it enriches the story, and it ensures there's a vitality there. And it's good. You know, it's some of these things. I've been working on this, and something I'll share with you again, but I think it would work well. In fact, when we came up with this idea for this narrated historic district walking tour here, Kingman Main Street, I've been helping them. The idea was to use that as a template and encourage other communities to do something similar. And, you know, this, I think, would work really well on 6th Street there in Amarillo. But speaking of obscure history, digging into these things, I was shocked. Things that I've walked past for 60 years here in Kingman, when I found out the story behind them, it was just jaw-dropping. Like, for example, we got an old territorial jail here. And I was really surprised to find that the concrete work was done by a contractor local But the jail itself was built by the Pauley Jail Company in, I think it was Kansas City, Missouri. And I was really surprised to find out that the company is still in business. It's still a family-owned business. And they've been in business since 1856, building jails.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Who knew there was so much money in incarcerating people?
That's true. And speaking of the walking tour, yes, I took your idea of the walking tour to the Convention and Visitors Bureau here in Amarillo, and they're going to help us. They're going to do like the QR code and stuff for us, and we're going to try to put one together. I've been talking to one of the historians from an old association of Sixth Street, and he said he would help us, and so it's taking shape. We had hoped to get it done before the festival this year, and that didn't happen because there's just, like you say, there's just so much that you can find out and do. And but we are taking y'all's advice and your lead, and we're going to try it here on Sixth Street. Hopefully we'll have it in place by June.
If I can help, you know, always holler at me. The worst that'll happen is I'll laugh and say that ain't happening. And don't get frustrated about the time it takes. I know you got your water tanks done. We started on this idea of this walking tour in 2014, and it took until 2021 before we could finally get any traction on the idea. It's exhausting sometimes. Hey, Miss Dora, I want to thank you for taking time from your Sunday. I hope we didn't stress you out too much with this stuff. And
I wish I could have got the Podbean thing to work, but I just couldn't do it.
Well, we got Plan A, Plan B, and Plan C. And since I'm modern Amish and I don't have a clue what the hell I'm doing, we just bluff our way through it until something works. Hey, but I appreciate you taking time from your Sunday morning to do this. And it's just really, hopefully, the whole idea behind this is to share America's story and to encourage road trips by telling people where to go. And I'm so glad you were able to help me do that today. And hopefully we inspired people to come discover a bit of Texas and Texas hospitality and a little bison chili and a few other things. But, we'll do this again sometime, and I look forward to seeing you in October.
Yes. Well, we appreciate everything you do, Jim, and for allowing us to have a little time on your show.
Oh, that's what this thing was designed for. It's not a Jim show. It's about you guys. It's about sharing this thing and sharing the story and, well, talking to family a bit. Miss Dora, we'll let you go. Does anyone have any questions here for Dora before we get this going here? Okay. Hey, Dora, what is the address for Texas Ivy there?
It's 3511 Southwest 6th Avenue.
6th Avenue.
Amarillo, Texas.
I keep calling it 6th Street, and it's 6th Avenue.
We call it 6th Street. All the merchants, everybody in Amarillo calls it 6th Street, and it's actually 6th Avenue for the mailing address or for Google.
That should be good and confusing.
Yes.
Let's see what else I've got here. Oh, well, that's kind of a good one. Do you and Andy have a favorite restaurant there that somebody just passing through, have a favorite restaurant? Put you on the spot right there, huh? Get you in trouble. But folks were asking if you have a favorite place to eat there in Texas, because they'd like to eat where the locals eat.
Well, here on Sixth Street, I mean, we go to the Handlebar and Grill because they have great food, but it's also directly across the street, and they are very, very nice. And Mimi's Cafe is the old A&W drive-in, and they're open for breakfast and lunch every day except for Sundays. And they have a blue plate special every day that changes, except on Wednesdays it's fried chicken day, and that's our whole family shows up for Wednesday lunch for fried chicken. And so those are two of my favorites. And of course, Smokey Joe's always is good too. There really isn't a bad restaurant on our street, but my two favorites are probably the Handlebar and Grill and Mimi's, just because they're closest to Texas ID, and I go there a lot.
I've got another one here. Is there any updates on progress in Glen Rio?
Well, what I've heard, and mainly my information comes from travelers that have stopped just before they get here, and the dispensary on the New Mexico side seems to be coming along fairly good, and the Texas side is pretty much forlorn and just sitting, and I guess we're hoping that it's going to be a project that they will finish when maybe they've made some money off of the dispensary side of the in Rio and New Mexico. We hope they'll spend some of that funds and do something with the Texas Glen Rio side. So right now it's a waiting game to see what they're going to do.
Yeah, I assumed as much. Let's see, do we have anything else here? Anybody's asking. Groom, Texas. Well, I assume they were asking about, is there a place to stay and eat in Groom? When I end up there, I've always stayed at the chalet out there. I always found it to be a pretty good motel. I assume it's still there. Restaurants? Well, I think there's only one or two, so that makes it easy.
Yeah, the Grill is there. And the Grill is where we had stopped for lunch on our motor tour last year. And excellent place. Definitely recommended, right on Route 66. And so I know that's, and they have, I think they might still have their Dairy Queen. A lot of our Dairy Queens were shut down. Yeah. And I'm not sure if they survived or not. And of course, the CrossFit Groom is a wonderful thing. And I don't know if I don't know how much time I have left, but I don't know if any of y'all heard about our Route 66 record coin collected album. I wish I could show you a picture, but it was the Convention and Visitor Bureau of Amarillo made it for our festival in June. And it's you collect the eight different coins from all the towns on Route 66 here in Amarillo, or in Texas. And it's a fun thing to do. And it was just to get people to, go out and visit all the towns and make sure they stop. And so we still have some of these available. They're $24.99 for the record album. And your coins sit in the album itself. And the coins are free if you have the album. And so it would be, if anybody doing the motor tour would like to do this, since you're going to be visiting a lot of the places anyway, we could hook you up with a record album too. I'll try and send you a picture and maybe you can post it.
That'd be great. And I got one more question here that's come up. They saw on Facebook you do a Friday, first Friday type event, car show on 6th Avenue.
It's actually on Saturday evenings. We have our Route 66 cruise night every Saturday.
Just during the summer, right?
Yeah, it's from April through October.
Yeah, I can't imagine people
weather permitting. And a lot of people cruise, and then we have some people that just park in the parking lot, the Generation Fellowship parking lot, and they visit and they show off their cars and stuff, and there anybody that wants to come, no matter what type of car you have, or just to look at the cars, is always welcome. And there is no set time and there's no set schedule. Usually we do it from dusk 10 or 11 p.m., depending on the weather and how long people want to stay and stuff. So,
yeah, very good.
But that's on Saturday nights.
Miss Dora, again, thank you. Please say hello to Mr. Andy for me. And I sure appreciate this morning. It gave me a lot of ideas. It looks like a lot of folks had some questions there. So they're interested in coming and seeing what Texas has got to offer. Anytime you want to get together and chew the fat here, just give me a holler and we'll set it up. And sometimes we'll have good luck. Sometimes we'll just have to go with plan B or C, but you know what? We're flexible. We'll make things work.
Well, sometime when I see you, maybe you could actually show me how to do this bean thing, and we can get it on my computer. I don't know.
We'll see what we can do. Hey,
well, I appreciate
you bet, Miss Dora. I'll let you run, and I do appreciate you taking time. Next week, we're going to have Cheryl Jett and Terry Ryburn, organizers of the Miles of Possibility Conference. And Terry's taken on a restoration project or two with some great success there in Illinois. She can share a bit of that story. But we're going to be talking about the history of the Miles of Possibility Conference, things that are going on along Route 66 in Illinois, and this year's Miles of Possibilities Conference, which I believe is October 19th through the 22nd in Bloomington Normal, Illinois. So that should be pretty good next week. And we've got some others simmering on the burner, possibly talking here to Tom Cotter, the author of the Barn Find Car series of books. He's got a new book out, made some pretty interesting discoveries. We'll probably be getting him here. And we're working on the tourism director and the mayor down in Needles, California. I do give those folks a hard time come summer. When we were kids, we used to refer to it as Needless California. It gets a tad bit hot down there, even for one of the dry roasted nuts like myself who live in the desert on purpose. But I have some fun in the coming weeks. And every morning at 7, and Sunday morning at 7 o'clock Arizona time. And then, of course, we'll have this published in a couple hours. It'll be available on Podbean, Spotify, major podcast platforms. And, of course, we've got an embedded player on the Jim Hinckley's America website, jimhinckleysamerica.com, so you can always find the old programs. And the walking tour in Kingman, it's a virtual tour as well as a physical tour. And I had a question about that. You can find that at kingman.tours. Pretty simple. Miss Dora, you take care of yourself. We'll holler soon, and we'll send this off with a little bit of music from Joe and Woody and the Boys.
Thanks.
Thank you, Miss Dora. Bye-bye.
Say hello to a new friend.
Leanne, thank you for joining us today. I hope things are well up there in Oatman. Andy, glad you could join us.
Come along,
Keith Kentner, always good to get talk to. I see you here. We're going to have to get you on the program. Talk about the Beale Street Theater projects.
Jim Hinckley is America.
Until next week, my friends. We will bid you adios, and hope you have a great week. Can you folks believe this is the last week of August? Well, I tell you, time sure zipped by. Well, we'll see you again next week, my friends. Adios, mi amigos.